Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's message is titled, A Little Humility, Please. And I think, I'm not going to say for sure, but I think I know what I'm talking about. Now, some of our politicians in recent years have told us they know what's up and what's down. And they've said it with complete certitude. And some of us have agreed, and some of us have not. But there's been no humility there. Now, I swapped some emails with Ernie at the beginning of the week about the hymn selection, and he noted that the reading from Joshua was kind of harsh. And I think the phrase he used was, is this the lectionary about ethnic cleansing? I am not going to tell you what God has in mind for us, but God has not given anybody, the right to perform ethnic cleansing. We do not always know what we think we know. So I'm going to invite each of us to exercise some humility when we approach Scripture. Now, you're all smart people, you can all read, we're all part of the Protestant tradition, we're all told that we should go and read the Bible, and we should all know what to do. But the robe I'm wearing suggests otherwise, doesn't it? This robe is an academic robe, and I received it upon my graduation from Divinity School. And I'm supposedly following in the tradition of the Reformers because I want to try to cover up my streetwear so no one's focused on my tie or my shirt or what other garments I'm wearing. But the fact is, it is also a badge of my office along with this stole. And it is a way of saying, I know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. And if you think you know what you're talking about, maybe you don't. Now, I am not going to tell you that I have the correct interpretation of every piece of Scripture. I'm not. And neither do you. It is important for us to listen to one another, to hear one another, to actually be open to other ideas. Now, we may have heated discussions. And we may come out exactly where we were when the conversation began. But the way we conduct ourselves during those conversations is important. It is vital. We need to listen to one another. Now, you might be thinking, okay, I'll listen to most people except for those people. And you know who those people are. They're the ones who don't dress like me. They're the ones who don't talk like me. They're the ones who don't vote like me. Those are the people who are beyond the pale. No. God made each and every one of us. God made all of us. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to think that some of your opinions are wacky or stupid. But I'm not going to tell you that to your face. Maybe occasionally I will. But I'm going to try to exercise some discretion because I'm your pastor. I like my job. And I don't want to be kicked out of the church here. But there's a way for us to carry on conversations with one another. And I want to focus on the passage from Matthew. And Jesus is on a roll here. He's really having it out with the religious authorities. And he talks about the people who like to be acknowledged as religious authorities. And we don't live in that world anymore, but I'm still afforded a modicum of respect because of what I do and what you all do. Now, we should not be awarding people respect or praise because of the office they hold. That simple. You may like what I'm doing. You may not like what I'm doing. You may like what I'm teaching. You may disagree with what I'm teaching. But I am not the office of the minister. That is a role in the church that I was called to. And so my wearing this robe and this stole is in some ways a claim that I'm different than you. You came in the church this morning, you knew exactly who the preacher was going to be. What if I weren't wearing the stole and the robe? Would you have known that then? Do I look like a preacher? Do I sound like a preacher? I've heard some really great preachers during my time. And God, I am not them. But Jesus tells us at the end of this reading today, all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. When you're asked to volunteer here at the church, I presume that you are looking at whether you can do the job you've been asked to do, not whether you're going to get a title, not whether you're going to get to sit in a particular seat. We have no pews reserved for offices of the church. There is no designated parking out back for designated offices of the church. You all are important. And that is important for you to remember. Not because you're a moderator, not because you're a treasurer, not because you chair a committee, but because you are a child of God. That's one area where you don't need to be humble. You can take pride in that. But remember that the person next to you is also a child of God and is equally beloved of God. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to believe that. And sometimes we're with people where we just want to roll our eyes. And as I've said before, it really doesn't take all kinds. There are two or three people I can imagine voting off the island. But that's not what God wants. And this isn't some kind of kumbaya message to you saying, let's all just get along. But let's not hit one another. Let's not bomb one another. Let's not curse one another. And that may sound like a generic church message. But damn it, the church is really good at bombing people and cursing people and driving people out. It's been doing it for 2,000 years. And that's one thing we share in common with every other faith tradition in the world. We're really good about beating up on our enemies or the people we describe as our enemies. God did not hand us a book of doctrine to observe. God did not tell us to be Congregationalists. But God did not tell us to be Catholics or Methodists or Evangelicals or whatever denominational flavor you can think of out there. That's our doing. And so as we build these edifices in honor of God and for worshiping God, let's do so with some humility. Really. Can we answer to God for what we do? I hope God feels good about what we do. I'm going to put our guests on the spot here. I'm sure God feels good about what Listen is doing and of our support for them. Feeding the poor. Or feeding the hungry and clothing the poor. That's what we're called to do in Scripture. Now, don't say, oh, well, I put more in the cart than someone else, so I'm better than them. Just feel good about putting something in the cart. Just feel good about helping out with a cover project or in working to end homelessness. And yes, that may be something that seems so big that's never going to happen. But if we don't start somewhere, then I can guarantee it will never happen. Wouldn't it be crazy to live in a world in which we did not allow for homelessness? Where everyone had a place to sleep at night? Really? We have enough money as a society. There's enough space out there. And there's some hullabaloo going on about whether the High Meadows building down on Mechanic Street is going to be turned into a housing shelter in the winter. It's an ugly building. And the fact that the city has bought it is a good thing. And I endorse that use. I would like to know that people who have nowhere to sleep when it is bitterly cold out this winter have a warm place to go. It's a win-win situation. Now, some people may say, oh, it's not good for property values. Well, is that piece of property really going to make an impact on your property values? Well, how about having homeless people sleeping in the park or in the lot of land down by Hannaford's? Is that good for property values? No. And is it right for us to say, well, those people should go somewhere else? It's someone else's problem. Well, guess what? It's going to wind up being our problem. Now, I don't sound like I'm saying any of this with humility. And I'm beginning to veer off into righteous anger. And that's not good either. But God is calling us to do the work of the gospel. And these things are pretty clearly spelled out. And I'm going to tell you that the Bible was not handed to us by God verbatim. It was not dictated to Moses. There are no recordings of what God said. It's divinely inspired. But it's also a community's attempt to work out their understanding of God and what God is doing in the world. So, this morning, as we gather around the communion table to share the bread and the cup, I am not going to be thinking about whether anybody is entitled to come to this table. Because you have all sinned, as have I. We are all sinners. God still loves us, each and every one of us. Does God want us to continue to sin? No. But that's something we can choose to work on. But when we gather at the table, do so knowing that you are loved by God. And that you may not know exactly what God wants you to do or what God wants us to do. But maybe having some humility around that is not a bad thing. Because we are not going to be warriors going out and waging some holy war. That really hasn't worked out that well in the past, has it? You look at something like the Crusades, that really didn't do much for God's reputation in the world, did it? And we can say that the Muslims were vicious, we can say the Christians were vicious, everybody behaved badly. And nothing was done to the credit of God. So let's try to do God's work. And again, I do not have a telephone line to God. I have no one to call up to tell me what to say to you. But I look at this beautiful world with the sun shining, the leaves are changing, and I think we can try to take care of this creation. And when we do that, we're also giving praise to God. Because as we read in Scripture, God isn't interested in people going to services and singing loudly and putting on a good show. You might want to do that to impress your neighbor, but that is not going to impress God. What's going to impress God is whether you are turning to him with a full and open heart, whether you are willing to do the work that God wants us to do. It's that simple. And I'm saying that to you with a little bit of humility here, because again, I do not have any marching orders from the Lord. Other than those words from Hebrew Scripture. From Isaiah. about clothing the naked and feeding the poor and caring for the prisoner. Those messages come down to us over and over again throughout history. And we find reasons not to act on them. Why? And I'll ask that question with some humility. Why? I don't have an answer for you. And this is where I could go off on a tangent and talk to you about sin. But I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to violate that rule from my preaching professor about Protestant ministers giving everyone an assignment at the end of the sermon. We shouldn't do that. I'm going to do that. I want you to leave here today and reflect on the questions I posed to you this morning and ask why. And then after you've pondered that question long enough, then I would invite you to ask, what am I, me personally, going to do about it? Not my neighbor, not this institution, not the government, but me personally. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Scripture and for the lessons it contains. Thank you for the example of Jesus and whose path we choose to walk as we follow you and we work towards our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.